So what did this special man, this sorrowful man, and this supplicating man pray? First of all, Jabez prayed for enrichment. Now, where do I find that in this text or in this prayer? This is what he prayed. Listen to it. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Now, I'm sure you all know what that word enrich means. It means to improve or enhance the quality, the power, or the value of something by adding something to it. I think, for example, of the soil. The soil in the ground needs constant enrichment with organic matter. The soil needs to be enriched so that it can help plant growth and development and so on. So you get the picture. And then when we apply this in a spiritual sense, Jabez felt the need for something to be added to his life to cause him to grow spiritually. Maybe that's the way we feel tonight as we come to the house of God. We need something from God. Well, we'll call it a blessing, whatever that word really means. We need something to cause us to grow spiritually, to mature, to develop in the things of God. Hence, he prayed that God would bless him. Now, that word bless is a hard word to define. Perhaps it can be best defined as the free gift of God whereby he meets us at the point of our need. Okay, you're going for surgery, and as you lie there waiting to be wheeled down to the theatre, you may offer a little prayer, Lord, help me, or Lord, bless me. So what are you really saying? Help me, bless me, undertake for me. So you get a sense of the meaning here. You're going to the dentist, you've got an awful pain, and you're a little bit afraid of that needle. It's an awful thing to enter into your mouth there at times, and lying there with your mouth open for so long. You may just sit there in the quietness, Lord, bless me, help me, just be with me. It's not a big procedure I'm going through, but I'm nervous about it. Bless me. Have you prayed that recently? Lord, bless me. You understand what I'm talking about here? He prayed for the blessing of God. It's virtually impossible to live our lives without this blessing, whatever it really means. Jabez had great needs, as we have mentioned previously. Remember, his name means sorrowful. We don't know what his problem was, but we do know that he needed grace. And he prayed, God bless me indeed. He urgently needed something to enrich or add to his life to help him cope. Maybe there's someone tonight listening to my voice on the internet, and you're saying, yes, preacher, this is exactly what I need. I just need something to help me to cope with the situation I find myself in tonight. And then he uses that little expression, oh, that thou wouldst bless me. And that speaks of his deep desire in prayer. It expresses the intensity of his praying, how he approached the throne of grace. Tozer, a very well-known preacher of a past generation, said, in our day, we have lost the oh in our longing for God. I hope no one here has lost the oh God of your experience, your first love. It may have gone, but thank God he restoreth my soul. Wearsby said his prayer was another way of praying that God would make him blessable. Maybe we need to be praying tonight, Lord, make my life blessable. Make me blessable. Get me into that right relationship with God where I can be blessed. That's maybe the problem. The problem's not with the Lord, it never is. The problem is always with us, and it's always on the inside. But it will soon manifest itself on the outside. Now, the point I want to emphasize also is that God desires and wants to bless his people. You go way back to Genesis chapter 12, and those opening two or three verses, and God spoke to Abraham, and this is what he said. He said, I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. And this is the very thing that Jabez prayed for. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. That's what he prayed for. And God is willing to give that to us, whatever that blessing may be. That blessing may differ with the passing of each day. You may face this situation today and another situation tomorrow, and you're praying the same thing. Lord, bless me. Whatever that blessing is, God is able to meet you at the point of your need and give you that blessing that you need. He's promised to bless. And then in Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. So God wants to bless his people. And he wants to bless you tonight, just the way he blessed Jabez of old. So it is not wrong for Jabez to ask to be blessed. It's not wrong for you and for me to ask to be blessed. Now the question is, how much do you want to be blessed? That's the question. Well, from my perspective, I want to be blessed a lot. I want to share something with you. I didn't notice it until about 12:05 last night, when at home I had a cup of tea and I went to the study, and the Lord began to speak to me. And sitting there near midnight, this thought came to me. You don't see this in the English translation, in the King James Version. This is the only version that we use in this pulpit and in the Free Church, Authorized King James Version. And in the Hebrew it is, bless me, bless me. The word for bless me is used twice, side by side, in the Hebrew. I checked that up. I'm not an expert in Hebrew, but I got out the Hebrew Bible. I could identify the word, and I see it sitting there side by side. Bless me, bless me. So in the English, it is bless me indeed. But in the Hebrew is basically saying, bless me a lot. Bless me abundantly. Bless me exceedingly. Bless me greatly. Have you got a desire to be blessed? Oh, God, bless me greatly tonight. And the sense of the meaning is, bless me today, bless me tomorrow, bless me the day after that, and the day after that, bless me forevermore. God has no shortage of blessing. And I think we are privileged and we are honored by God to ask to be blessed every day. Isn't that a good prayer to pray? Oh, that thou wouldst bless me today. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day after that. Jacob, I mentioned this before from the pulpit, he prayed for a blessing. Well, it wasn't maybe it wasn't what he expected to receive. The Lord gave him a limp. Oh, you say, a limp? How can that be a blessing? Well, I mentioned before, it completely changed his walk before God and before men. And so that was a blessing. For the twister to be touched of God and changed by God, that his walk was transformed before God and before men. That was really a blessing. So he prayed for enrichment, and then he prayed for enlargement. Where do I get that? Well, he prayed for more. How do I know that? Well, he said, enlarge my coast or my border, if you like. Makes no difference. In other words, he was saying, enlarge my territory, make it bigger. Some saints are content to have to remain spiritual babyhood, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. But we need, as the people of God, to pray that God would enlarge our coast, increase our capacity to receive his blessing, deepen our faith, inflame our love, and give us more opportunities to serve him and to witness for him. That would be a good prayer to pray, would it not? Here in Coleraine. Oh, that the Lord would enlarge my coast or my border. The word enlarge is often connected with spiritual blessing and growth. For example, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 27, Noah prophesied that God would enlarge Japheth, and that he would dwell in the tents of Shem. Now, what does that mean? What's the significance of that? In this way, scholars understood spiritual blessings enjoyed by the line of Shem, especially by Abraham, a descendant of that particular line. And the enlargement of Japheth and his dwelling in the tents of Shem indicate that the descendants of Japheth came into the enjoyment of the spiritual blessings of Shem. They came into the blessing of God through someone else, through another line. So enlargement has to do with spiritual prosperity. And the truth of the matter is that we as the people of God come into blessing through another, through the work of Jesus Christ. Because I have mentioned in Ephesians that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we come into the richness of the blessing through the gift, through the work of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. He hath made me glad. Hallelujah. He hath blessed my soul. He hath forgiven me for my sins. He hath fitted me for heaven. Hallelujah. I have been richly and truly and eternally blessed. For the end is not yet, and the best is still to be. Now you will notice that he prayed for spiritual enrichment before spiritual enlargement. This was the case when God blessed Joseph in Potiphar's house, and again in the prison house in the book of Genesis, before he made him prime minister of Egypt. The more God blesses, the more he enlarges our responsibility. And the more he enlarges our responsibility, the more we need his blessing. Isn't that right? If you are experiencing the blessing of God, then he gives you his blessing, and along with that comes more responsibility. And the more responsibility that God gives to you, then the more you have need of his blessing. A preacher, Sunday school teacher, a children's worker, an elder, a deacon in the church. If God has blessed you, he has blessed you and given you extra responsibility. And the more responsibilities you have, the more blessing you need. That's it. That's the secret. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. I want to be blessed. Now, you will notice what he said here. He did not ask God for 100 acres of land. He didn't ask God for 1,000 acres of land. He didn't ask God for 1,000,000 acres of land. Notice what he said. He just said, enlarge my border, give me more. That's what he said. And when we pray like this, we are taking the limits of God. The limits of God. It's like giving to him a blank check and telling him to fill in the amount he wants to give. It's like saying, I'm tired of limiting God. Now, do we limit God with our praying? I think the secret he gleaned and gathered, he wanted to let God be God. He wanted to let God be in control of the situation. And this is really what he was saying. I do believe whatever God gives me, I am willing to accept. How much land do you think God gave to Jabez? We don't know. But I'm sure it was enough. I'm sure it was more than he deserved. But not more than God could give. Isn't that a wonderful thought? God gives to us blessing after blessing. Not that we deserve it. And when he does bestow blessing upon us, thank God there's always more left. It's like the widow in the Old Testament there. I remember the cruse of oil and the bread, the barrel and so on. It never did run dry. And they were drawing on those resources for a long time. And every time they went, there was still meal and the barrel and oil and the cruse. God is a loving, gracious, generous giver. Not too little, not too much was given, just what was right. And that's what God will give to you and he'll give to me. Not too little, not too much. He will give exactly what we need. That's the way God works. So he prayed for enrichment, and he prayed for enablement, and then he prayed for enlargement, and then he prayed for enablement. Where do I find this? That thine hand might be with me. He prayed to have God's presence with him. I must have the Saviour with me, for I dare not walk alone. Have you been conscious of the Lord's presence with you today? The Lord wants to carry us through each and every situation. He wants to give us direction. He wanted God's hand upon him to guide him, God's open hand to supply his need, God's mighty hand to protect him, and God's gentle hand to assure him. The hand in the Bible is an expression that denotes the power of God in action. Read through the book of Ezra sometime, and all the way through you read there about Ezra, the hand of God was upon him. And he was safely able to make the journey from Babylon to Jerusalem. It took quite a length of time to get there, carrying gold and silver. And when they arrived, in spite of the maybe attempts along the road to rob them, when they arrived at Jerusalem, all the gold and silver that they set out with was there, because the good hand of God was upon them. And that's the way it is in life. When we have the good hand of God upon us, there's nothing to fear. Time and time again, we read about the hand of God in the Bible. Psalm 18, "Thy right hand hath holden," or "held me up." Underneath are the everlasting arms. He's holding us up. That's a wonderful thought. And the same thought is found in Psalm 63. "The right hand upholdeth me." The right hand, the hand of power, is the power of God upholding me, undergirding me, lifting me up. And Psalm 73, "Thou hast holden," or we could put in there, "taken hold by my right hand." It reminds me of the story of a little girl who went with her father walking through a cave. Now, I'm not a great favourite of walking through caves, so that may be your preference. I hope you enjoy it. That's not what I would decide to do on a day off, but they were walking through the cave, and the father reached out to help the daughter, the young girl, around some rocks that were in the path. And just at that moment, the lights of the cave went out, and they were left in the complete darkness. And the father called out to the little girl, "Don't be afraid, I'm right here." And she replied, "I'm not afraid, Dad. I know that you're right there because you hold my hand." And that's the way it is in life. It doesn't matter what difficulties we face, the hand of God is with us. And this is what the man of God wanted, "that thine hand might be with me, that thine hand might be upon me. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land." And I want to tell you something. We are in the safest hand in the whole wide world. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand," Jesus says, John 10:29. I've got to come too close. Jesus has been praying for enrichment. Bless me indeed. He has been praying for enlargement. Enlarge my coast or my border. He has been praying for enablement, that thine hand might be with me. And then he's praying for encouragement. "Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me, or that it may not spoil my life." If we're sensitive to sin, we shall not cause grief to God. And through this little window, we see the great soul of Jabez. He knew enough about the loathsomeness of sin and the holiness of God to hate the one and love the other. Knowing his weakness, he cried, "Keep me from evil." He wanted to be delivered from a life that would grieve God. Very McShane died at the very young age, in his 30th year, a great man of God, a great preacher of the word. This is what he prayed: "Lord, make me as holy as it is possible for a saved sinner to be." And Jabez wanted to live a godly life. I think we all have that desire. We may not always be able to attain to it in this life. We get tripped up at times, but he restores our souls. He's gracious and merciful. And grief in the original is akin to the name sorrowful, Jabez. So there is this kind of relationship here. And the Lord's prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." He did not want to fall into sin, because if he did, he would become a man of sorrow. Man of sorrow. He wanted to be saved from his sin. No wonder God answered this man's prayer. A godly man, a good man. So we only have the information provided in these two short verses, but the Spirit has given to us a very concise memoir of this saint of God. He's still talked about after a few thousand years, by the way. We don't learn anything about these other 600 people mentioned, or if we have any information, it's very limited. But here, this man in this unexpected place, we remember him after all these years. Why? Because he was a man of prayer. He was not a great prophet. He was not a great preacher. He was not a wise ruler over a great nation. He was not famous in winning some battle against the foes of the people of God. But Ezra remembered because he prayed. Listen to it. He prayed for things that God beforehand wanted to give him. And that's why he received those. God had ordained to give him these things. The Lord put it into his heart to pray for these things. So his mind was in agreement with the mind of God. And that's why we read at the end, and God granted him that which he requested. Before I close, I see Christ here. That's my aim in all my messages, to see Christ. So thinking about this man, Jabez, and with this I close. Was not Christ more honourable than his brethren? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Eminent in purity. A man of prayer. A man who prayed to enlarge the borders of his church. And after 2,000 years, millions of people across the world still think about him and still talk about him. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he's our Saviour. And he stopped by tonight to listen to our prayers. And if he has put something in your heart to pray tonight, you pray it. Because you have the guarantee when you pray what he wants you to pray for, the story will end the same way as it does here. And God granted him that which he requested. And may God be pleased to grant us what we request tonight when we ask it. In Jesus' name. So I trust that you've enjoyed these three simple little messages here about Jabez. We don't know a lot about him, but I'm glad I'm not coming back tomorrow night and running out of material. And the night after that, but I have exhausted my sources. I trust that God will bless you and enrich you and keep these things before you as you continue to serve the Lord in the days to come.